It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Later in the hour, the Great Lakes water levels are down. Our guest will help us sort out the mystery of why the levels are changing.
First, though, tonight marks Governor Scott Walker's final State of the State address during his first term as governor.
With nearly a $1 billion budget surplus recently announced, it's likely he'll spend time laying out what to do with that money. But it's an election year and an important speech for him, so what else can we expect? Here to give us a preview is WPR's state government reporter, Sean Johnson. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, what is Governor Walker's most important task in this State of the State address tonight?
I think he laid it out pretty well. I mean, it's an election year. If he was going to have a surplus to be talking about in any State of the State address, this is probably the one that he'd pick. He has, the task of laying out what he's going to do with that money. And we already know that he's going to be talking about tax cuts, specifically some mix of income and property tax cuts with an emphasis on the property tax cuts.
Well, let's pursue that angle for a little bit, and later I'd like to get back into the election some. Where did that surplus come from? Why do we suddenly have this surplus?
Most of it came from, we don't have it yet. It is a projected surplus, which is, the way the state does its business. It projects how much money it's going to take in through the income tax, the sales tax, the corporate income tax. And, in this instance, all of those are projected to go up. And so you throw in some other factors with some funds that are projected to lapse, and the state now has $912 million more. It's projected to have $912 million more to work with over this biennium. And, this is – how do they get those numbers? A lot of factors. They go through a national firm that looks at this stuff for other states, Global Insight. Global Insight looks at stuff, everything from what the Fed is doing with monetary policy to what people are purchasing. The State Legislative Fiscal Bureau looks at how tax collections are coming in so far in Wisconsin, and this is their best answer right now as to what they expect we're going to take in through, the end of June next year.
With these State of the State addresses, sometimes it seems like everything is leaked before the actual event. Sometimes it's a little more hush-hush. Seems like all that's out there is the talk of the kind of tax cuts and tax relief that the governor is going to present tonight. What do we know about what he's going to propose so far?
We know that he wants to prioritize the property tax cut. And so as you look at where he's going to be proposing money spent or, tax cuts, about $400 million of what he's going to propose is going to be aimed at a property tax cut. It's going to be funneled through the technical colleges, so it's something that, should be fairly evenly distributed throughout the state. And then another $100 million about would be focused on an income tax cut. And this is a little different than the income tax cut that he did in the most recent budget. This income tax cut would be just for the lowest income bracket. So everybody would get a piece of it that pays income taxes, but it would be focused on that lowest bracket. And you can imagine that's an election year strategy for him because it makes it harder for Democrats to say that he's focusing these tax cuts on the rich.
With that technical college tax cut, the way that would work, correct me if I'm wrong, technical colleges would get more direct support from the state that would offset a decrease in the amount of property tax they collect from their local levies. Is that right?
Yeah, they call it in the parlance of state government buying down the levy. And so the state will be sending more money to technical colleges, but it's not money that the technical colleges will then get to turn around and spend on increased programming. It will, essentially eat up the share of funding that would be going to the technical colleges through the property tax.
And then the third wheel of this tax cut tricycle, bad metaphor, forget I said that, is not actually a tax cut, but a change in the way withholding works, right? So money that we would get usually in a rebate is just not deducted in the first place. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and again, this is something that the property tax cut actually wouldn't be noticed until after the election. And so, if you're looking at it strictly from a political standpoint, maybe that's not the best way to get people's attentions. So the withholding changes that you mentioned there are you know, just as you described it, instead of waiting until, you know, April to get a refund from state government, you get money that they're over withholding in each paycheck. And so the state hasn't adjusted these withholding tables for a while, partly because cash flow has been an issue. Now that the state has some cash flow, they have the opportunity to do this. It's not technically a tax cut, but it's not something that the state can do if it doesn't have revenue to work with.
You mentioned the election implications of these changes in the taxes, but this is all in line with the Republican worldview. Cut taxes. The state is getting more money. It should go back to the citizens. That, the theory goes, will help the economy. Is that the way it's being presented, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is in line with what they talk about. Where it sort of falls short of the Republican worldview, at least for some Republicans, is that what the governor is proposing would apparently increase the state's structural deficit by about $100 million. And we don't have the memo from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau on the hard numbers on what that's going to, you know, what that's going to be. But, you know, it would grow the state's structural deficit from what the governor told reporters. And essentially, the structural deficit is a measure of how much cash the state has on hand at the start of a budget cycle compared to how much it's already committed to spending. So when the state starts its next two-year budget, you know, by the best numbers that we have right now, before the governor does anything, the state already faces a $708 million structural deficit between what it has and what it has to pay for.
And then some Republicans, as you were suggesting there, are not entirely on board, especially in the Senate, right?
Yeah, especially in the Senate. And you've got some senators there that have been around for a while. They've seen the state go through the booms and the busts, and you know, they've seen what happens when there's windfalls of revenue, and you know, what happens a few years later when those go away. And so they're pushing to really take care of the structural deficit. They want to make sure that money gets put away and that the state doesn't get too carried away with tax cuts, and they view that as fiscal conservatism. And actually, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said today that, you know, if the governor's plan is going to grow that, there are going to be some of his members who have a problem with that. You know, much different story in the state assembly, where Republican leaders there don't have that problem, and they say that the reason is they think economic growth will erase any structural deficit, and it's not anything you have to worry about.
What's been the response from Democrats?
Democrats, I think now that the structural deficit number is kind of out there, you're seeing Democrats really highlight that, because this is something that Republicans talked about when Jim Doyle was governor. Something candidate Walker talked about before he was governor. Were the structural deficits run up under Governor Jim Doyle. You know, so Democrats are seizing on that, and I think they're also going to be talking about what they see as Governor Walker's weakness in this election year, and that is how Wisconsin compares to its Midwest neighbors and the nation in terms of job growth. You know, the state is adding jobs, the economy, you know, you can't have an uptick in income and sales tax without having an economy that is growing in some way. Okay, but the thing that Democrats are going to highlight is that Wisconsin is lagging its neighbors. You know, it's fallen behind the competition in terms of where it could be with growth, and especially job growth, where the governor, you know, famously promised he was going to help Wisconsin create 250,000 jobs in his first term. That's a number he's mentioned in two out of his three State of the State speeches. You know, we'll see if he mentions it tonight, but you can be sure the Democrats will.
There have been calls for various things to do with the money, the projected surplus, including education and job training. Do you anticipate any talk of job training or other job promotion programs in the State of the State tonight?
Yeah, I don't know if the governor's going to talk about using surplus on job training. And it might seem like, you know, an insignificant nuance, but he's probably going to talk about using money that's set aside in an account controlled by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Actually, it's under the control of the state legislature right now, but I think you might see him call for some type of job training program using this $35 million surplus that's in another account. That's a possibility. He has sent no signs that he's going to be using this money to, you know, increase funding for education or to, you know, cuts that education took, school funding took in the last budget under Governor Doyle and Governor Walker's first budget. That just hasn't been in the conversation among Republicans. We'll see how much Democrats push it. They've been talking about a balanced approach between tax cuts and education, but I don't know how much they're gonna push that tonight.
We're talking to WPR State Government Reporter Sean Johnson about the governor's State of the State address coming up at 7 o'clock tonight.
We're back with WPR's Capitol reporter Sean Johnson, and he's giving us a preview of this evening's State of the State address.
And we'd like to hear from you. What do you want to hear Governor Walker address in his speech? Do you think the tax cut should be the top item on his agenda? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll take a call now. We've got Kevin with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Actually, one quick comment, and then my question is, I'm actually a teacher. I would love to hear him put some more back into public education, but my real question is this. This is all sounding like talk of projected budget and projected income, and the revenues should be there. I guess I just don't understand large-scale, stateside, national economics. I'd really love to hear some more about that.
So do we, how sure are we, and more importantly, are the lawmakers, that the money's really going to be there, Sean?
I mean, it's based on the best available information they have in front of them. I mean, you could go through the Legislative Fiscal Bureau's memo on information they received from Global Insight on a variety of factors that Global Insight uses to come up with revenue estimates, not just for Wisconsin, but for other states, and how Fiscal Bureau then kind of combined that with what it knew about Wisconsin to reach, you know, the number here. You could probably read that that memo and come away more confused in a way. It's fairly complicated stuff. I would just say it's the best info we have right now. And yeah, things change, obviously. I mean, this is already a revised estimate from last year. So they do this from time to time, and yet there are other times when Fiscal Bureau's estimates using these numbers, using this data, are, you know, scary on the mark, and you wonder how they did it. But I would just say that it's not based on nothing. It's not based on just hopes or looks like things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the same really data set that other states use when they're coming up with their estimates.
Moving on to other issues, the State of the State potentially and sometimes has been a bully pulpit to say to the state legislature, let's get the job done on issue X. Do you think that there are any issues currently languishing in the legislature that he might make a push for?
Yeah, I don't know. That's something where he hasn't been out talking as much about his plans. He has, his State of the State addresses have not been sort of as chock full of new ideas or new policies as previous governors, whether it be Governor Doyle or Governor Thompson, where they'd really use these speeches as an opportunity to go through, you know, here are some new ideas I have, here are some things I want to shepherd through. Governor Walker does that, but not to the same degree. I think one thing that's worth watching tonight is whether he talks about some type of school accountability bill. This is something that he highlighted, I think it was a couple years ago now, that he wanted to have a school accountability law that would hold public schools, private schools, voucher schools, hold all schools accountable for the dollars that they receive from the state. And that's an idea that's really just kind of languished in the legislature. There is a proposal out there this year from Republican lawmakers. Again, it's kind of languishing. So it'll be interesting to see if the governor throws some weight behind that or if that's something he just leaves to the legislature.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Sandra with us in Racine. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. I would like to see more money put into public education, too, since some was taken out. I also would like him to focus on jobs, because trickle-down hasn't worked, and I don't think the hundred-some dollars in return, and I don't know based on what value of your home or whatever, I don't really think that that's going to spur on the economy as well as focusing on jobs so we get more people working.
Thanks for the call, Sandra. Sean, is that something that we've heard from Democrats critical of the governor's approach?
In terms of the size of the tax cut, they did that with a tax cut that Republicans enacted last year. I mean, they kind of pointed out that this is not huge, that for the average person, you're not going to see a lot of extra money in your pocket. I don't know yet if that's something that they're going to talk about with this plan. They might want to wait till they see more details. But yeah, I mean, that's the debate in Wisconsin, as it is in the national level, is, you know, is this really going to work, or is this just going to be something that sets us up for bad budget situations in the future? And as far as money for public education, you can imagine if this was a Jim Doyle State of the State address and you had a $1 billion surplus, there probably would be talk of that, especially if Democrats were running the legislature. But I think it's just illustrative of, you know, the different times that we're in right now and the approach of a Republican governor and Republican legislature who have, you know, consistently prioritized tax cuts over increased spending.
A lot of times a big part of the State of the State address isn't just legislation for the future, but looking at past successes. What kind of things do you think the governor might highlight?
I think he'll talk about his last budget a little bit. You might hear him talk about voucher schools. He's been a big advocate of them, and he's done a lot to expand them. I know that in the tidbits that he announced already, he's going to be talking about health care, specifically his health care plan, which, you know, differs greatly from what most states are doing. He's going to highlight the fact that for the first time, everyone who has an income, whether they're parents or they're childless adults, if they have an income below the poverty level, they'll be able to get Badger Care in Wisconsin. I don't know that he's going to talk about the flip side of that equation and talk about the people, the parents, who were on Badger Care but are going to be pushed off in April under the changes, you know, ushered through by Republicans. And also, you know, he's going to talk about the tuition freeze. Hmm. That was a big topic at the Capitol last year. That's something else that you can imagine him talking about on the campaign trail in 2014. It's not something he initially proposed, but kind of at the urging of the legislature, that's how that ultimately happened.
I'd like to spend the last couple of minutes looking ahead at the election this fall. We in the media probably look at this kind of thing as maybe an opening salvo in that election campaign. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this kind of sets the table for what he's going to be talking about. I think the tone that he comes out with tonight is going to be very similar to what you're going to hear the rest of the year. I think the way that he addresses the jobs issue, you know, whether he says, like, I'm still pushing for that 250,000 jobs, or if he kind of sidesteps around it, might give you an inkling toward how he's going to approach it the rest of the year. And this is what he's going to talk about tonight is what he's going to want to talk about on the campaign trail, not necessarily stuff that he did in the first, second, or third year of his governorship.
That's the state campaign trail. Then there's the national audience. Do you think, there's always the talk that he might run for president. Is there a sense that, hey, the whole nation is watching to see how he carries himself and what kind of message he sends?
I think conservative news outlets are watching it. National conservative writers are watching it. Conservative primary voters, maybe a little bit, though it seems, you know, like maybe he hasn't gotten their attention at this point. Yeah, he's on sort of the short list of a lot of national pundits of who could be the nominee next time. But if you look at polls, you know, in Iowa or even in Wisconsin, he's not running away with it. So while it's sort of generally assumed among people who watch Wisconsin politics that this is something that he's interested in, it's not like it's just going to be handed to him. And he does have, in Wisconsin, a state that's very closely divided. He has a serious Democratic challenger in Mary Burke in the race for governor, And, you know, Scott Walker's approval rating has never really gone north of 51% here in Wisconsin. So just by the very nature of Wisconsin, by the nature of the candidate he is, you get a sense that this November could be another close race.
Sean, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us. That's WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson. He won't leave it there because he's going to be covering the State of the State address. It'll broadcast live here on the Ideas Network at 7 tonight. He'll co-host with Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television. You can stream the event at WPR.org at 7 tonight.